Hey everyone, Dr. Pat and I would personally like to invite you to join us in our Grow My Baby program. This is week-by-week pregnancy and birth information developed from our experience of helping more than 4,000 women grow and birth their babies. All our links are on our website, growmybaby.com.au.
If you're trying to get pregnant, or you are pregnant, and you feel a little bit overwhelmed by all you need to know, then this is the right podcast for you. Welcome to the show. I'm Bridget Maloney.
And I'm obstetrician Dr. Patrick Maloney. And this is The Kick, your expert-led podcast that delivers the essentials of growing a baby. Make sure you head to our website, growmybaby.com.au, to get some awesome free tools like our Pregnancy Knowledge Checker to help you feel like you got this.
Welcome, everybody, to The Kick Pregnancy Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about hyperemesis gravidarum, which is severe nausea and vomiting of pregnancy.
And it's very misunderstood, isn't it, as a concept?
I think so. I think the problem with this condition is that it's often seen as just people with morning sickness who complain more.
Yeah.
And we've got to get away from that. This is really a much more significant condition than the usual nausea and vomiting of pregnancy, which is kind of a self-limiting and relatively easy to manage condition that often affects pregnant women from about 6 to 12 weeks of pregnancy and, requires a few anti-nausea medications and so forth, but a lot of people will be able to soldier on through that. I'm not saying it's not significant, but it's not the condition we're talking about today.
No. Alrighty. So before we get into that, what we want to do is firstly talk about a great review we had where someone listened to us for 4.5 hours in a big
this
binge.
This is absolute gold.
Okay. So thank you, Dr. Pat and Bridget. This is from Claire. Just had a 4.5 hour car trip with my husband. I did the first part of the driving, so put on an episode of the podcast thinking that once it was done, I'd get him to change it to music or something more broad for both of us. I've been listening for a few months now and loving it, but have been struggling to find stuff for my husband that gives him useful information and doesn't talk down to him. I could see him out of the corner of my eye, carefully listening, and when I asked him what he wanted to play next, he picked another episode for us. Then another one. Until eventually we reached our destination, having swapped drivers halfway, normally when he'd get all the control of the music, having listened the entire time, we got to have very important conversations about what his role will be, how I'll need his support, and what sort of things he should be advocating for me on my behalf. Thank you both so much for this. I feel like he's much less worried about the process, and we are both on the same page about having our baby.
Wow. Isn't that fantastic?
Isn't that great?
And if anyone's listening who has not listened for 4.5 hours straight, then come
are
on.
You really a true fan?
Because that is fantastic.
That
well,
is so good.
Well done. Well done. 4.5 hours.
And I'd have to say, listening to podcasts in the car is my very favourite thing to do.
Yeah, isn't it great? It's the way to get the kids re-engaged. Not our podcast, I guess, but
yes.
Kid podcast.
Kid podcast. Just put that on the list of your parenting needs when they get a bit older. Not too much older. There's lots of podcasts for little kids. Alrighty. So let's get on to hyperemesis gravidarum. And you've had a little bit of a start there, Pat, but I was reading and you know, people with nausea and vomiting in pregnancy, they get the normal, like, you'll get over it, or next trimester you won't get it, or, you know, have a sip on ginger in water. Yeah. These are things that aren't helpful for someone with very severe nausea and vomiting.
No, so the first thing we have to do is make an accurate diagnosis. There's a terrific thing called the pregnancy unique quotient of emesis or something,
right,
which spells puke. Oh. and yes. It's an actual score that they came up with to rate how bad your nausea and vomiting is.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a really great idea because sometimes you say to people, how do you feel? Like, oh, I've been up all night vomiting. And it's hard to know whether that means I vomited 3 times and that just had me up all night, or whether I was literally vomiting all night. So the puke score, love it, is about quantifying the amount of nausea felt, vomiting actually experienced, and dry retching actually experienced. And it can help us tell the difference between what's okay, take these medications and soldier on type illness, and what is this person might actually be dehydrated and malnourished and might actually need much more medical attention, right up to and including hospital admission, intravenous rehydration, and you know, pretty high level of care.
So how common is it in pregnancies?
Well, it's almost universal to get some nausea and vomiting. And then we think about 10% of pregnant women, worse in your first pregnancy, will get, you know, properly diagnosed hyperemesis.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot.
Yeah. And really, I mean, gosh, I can sort of guess why it's a problem, but could you just go through the points about why that's a problem?
I mean, nausea and vomiting is just gross, isn't it? So it feels miserable to be that sick. And then if you've got more than just the usual pregnancy nausea and vomiting, so you're not really responding well to the anti-nausea medications, hyperemesis is when that process progresses to the point where you're becoming dehydrated. If it's prolonged, there might be a degree of malnutrition, as you're not getting the nutritional needs in because you feel too sick to eat all the time. And then, you know, dehydration has a risk on the pregnancy. Nutritional deficiencies potentially has a risk on the pregnancy. You feel severely unwell, often because sleep is disturbed by nausea. And it can all have a negative effect on mental health as well, as with a contribution to depression and anxiety because you feel so wretched and terrible all the time.
And any adverse effects for the baby?
Yes, there are. So at the start, sometimes malnutrition and dehydration can be so, in particular dehydration can be so severe that it can make a contribution to miscarriage, pregnancy loss. And in an ongoing way, in a very severe illness, you might stay pregnant, but there could be a contribution to poor fetal growth.
So that's that IUGR that we've done a podcast about.
Yeah. So one of the rarer but still significant causes of that might be maternal malnutrition from hyperemesis.
All right. So a woman has gone along to a doctor and she said that she's feeling nauseous all the time, can't get off the bathroom floor. Mm-hmm. What should she do from that point?
Well, as we're saying, we need to make a proper diagnosis. So there's no absolute level at which this stops being nausea and vomiting of pregnancy and becomes hyperemesis. But we do need to make a decision about how unwell the woman is and an appropriate treatment plan. So it starts off with taking a history, how much nausea and vomiting has there been, doing an examination, are there any clinical signs of examination. The urinalysis, examining the urine is probably the most valuable thing to do there. And then we need to work out whether we're in the sort of ballpark of taking some of the common anti-nausea medications of pregnancy, or whether we might already be in the ballpark of significant dehydration, better go up to the hospital emergency department for some intravenous fluids.
Is there a way that a woman can sort of self-diagnose if she's dehydrated?
Yeah, but they're kind of late signs. So if you're at the point where you've noticed a severe drop-off in urine volume, then you're already a bit sick.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? Like you're still going to the toilet, but you're only doing like little piddles.
Yeah, if you're hardly going at all, or when you do go, there's tiny amounts, then that's already a problem.
And are there any other symptoms that a woman might have at this stage?
When you get more dehydrated, you feel really unusually unwell. There's headache, migraine, dizziness, constipated. And we've got to be careful here because constipation is a common side effect of one of the anti-nausea medications.
Oh, yeah.
If you constipate, it might just be the dehydration and an overall sense of being really unusually exhausted and feeling quite unwell.
And there's some common triggers that your patients talk to you about, aren't there, when it comes to nausea and vomiting?
Yeah, the triggers are the typical things that you might see in early pregnancy, like a full plate of food.
Oh, yeah.
So this is why we talk about eating in early pregnancy should be like 5 or 6 snacks a day if you're feeling nauseated, and that the food should be I used to say to people, cut it up like you're feeding a toddler. So you have to make it look an appetizing amount of food on the plate, because looking at a whole plate might just gross you out. And then people can be triggered by other things like perfumes and motions, you know, being in a car, loud noise, toothpaste.
Or brushing your teeth, putting a toothbrush in my mouth. That used to make me gag terribly.
Yeah, and it's not just that, it's like sometimes it's the smell of toothpaste, but also putting the toothbrush too far back in your mouth.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about our free masterclass. Now, we're launching this very soon, so we want you to jump on the wait list. And in that masterclass, we're going to be talking about the three common mistakes that we see people make in their pregnancies all the time. And we're going to talk also about the four-step method that we have in our paid program that was designed to help you feel more confident in your pregnancy. So the masterclass is about 60 minutes long. It is jam-packed with great information that will help you to feel more confident in your pregnancy. Go to our website, www.growmybaby.com.au, and jump on that wait list, and we'll see you in the masterclass. All right, so I've gone to the doctor and the doctor's just sent me away with, some medication, but really with no belief in me that my condition is that bad. What should I do then?
Well, hopefully you've had a proper assessment by your doctor and they've worked out perhaps.
So your GP's your first port of call.
Yeah, so perhaps they've worked out already that you've got nausea and vomiting in pregnancy, but they're not worried about you being sort of hospital level sick at this stage. Then we want the message to get out to people that the anti-nausea medications used carefully and appropriately are safe for pregnancy. No one comes around with a big medal if you manage to get through to 14 weeks without a single Maxilon tablet or ondansetron wafer. You might have a certain sense of satisfaction, but no one comes around with a medal and says, well done you.
Alternatively, there's a lot of people that say that don't take anything in pregnancy because medication's bad.
Well, that's right, but we have to remember that becoming severely dehydrated and malnourished would be worse.
Yes.
So the medications that have a Category A rating in pregnancy have so because they've been tried and tested and known to be very safe. And there are a couple of medications in the Category B level that we also will use in more severe nausea and vomiting when we feel that any very, very minor risks associated with the medication are definitely outweighed by the benefit.
You're listening to The Kick with Dr. Pat and Bridget.
How many times have you Googled something about your pregnancy?
When I was pregnant all the time, Dr. Pat.
Yeah, we get it. You may be confused or overwhelmed. It's normal to want information, but where's the reliable stuff from experts?
Yeah. Now, if you like our podcast, Dr. Pat and I have developed an online program to help guide you through whatever stage of pregnancy you're at.
It's taken us literally 2 years to put it together.
Two long, hard years, wasn't it?
But, you know, it is a game changer in how pregnancy information is given.
Now, how it works is you get to sign up at whatever stage of pregnancy you're at. Like, so you could be pre-pregnant, in your very early stages of pregnancy, late pregnancy, preparing for birth, or maybe you've just brought your baby home. And you get lots of information around that. And then you also get to join our closed Facebook group.
We've called in all our contacts too. So we've got a dietitian, a anaesthetist, physiotherapist.
Sonographer.
Yeah, who else? A paediatric nurse, obstetrician, mother of four.
Oh, just all the people you need to hear from.
So if that's you, come and join us at www.growmybaby.com.au.
So we'll talk about the types of medication in a minute, but I just, you know, these poor women, is there any let up during their pregnancy if you've been diagnosed with hyperemesis gravidarum?
Yes and no. The ordinary time for, you know, pregnancy nausea and vomiting usually starts about 6 weeks and goes till about 12, maybe 13 weeks. A proper case of hyperemesis will often go till about 20, 21 weeks. And there's a small chance that it'll settle down after that. And some poor people, it's not that common, but some poor people will have the nausea right up until the baby comes. And that's a situation I'll deal with once or twice a year.
Okay. All right. Oh, well, that's good to know. So even in that 10%, you'd be very unlucky for you to be one of those people that has HG right up until you have the birth of the baby.
Yeah, that might be 1% or 2%.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So let's get on to treatment.
Yep.
The drugs. Tell me about what drugs you can have.
Yeah, so we start off with simple anti-emetics, anti-nausea medications.
And what are they?
The oldest and sort of most tried and true one is a drug called metoclopramide or Maxilon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Category A drug for pregnancy, super safe. It's mildly sedating in some people, which can actually be useful if you use it at night time to get off to sleep, and certainly very, very safe. It's quite effective, been around for many years, and it's often where we start. And there's another drug called ondansetron, and it's a terrific, a very effective anti-nausea medication that's considered by most people to be very safe in pregnancy. comes as a wafer that goes under your tongue, which is nice because you don't even have to be able to swallow a pill. Very severely nauseated, you can just put it under your tongue and wait for it to dissolve. And we use a fair bit of that. There's no major side effect of that one is constipation, so we need to be careful of that. And if my patients are on prolonged doses of ondansetron, then we use something like lactulose to
stuff in the stool.
Yeah, so that you don't. So that the
you don't get hemorrhoids.
Yeah, so the treatment isn't worse than the disease.
Oh, so hard, isn't it? All right, and what about anything else?
So there's another family of drugs which are safe to use, which are the more sort of old-fashioned antihistamine medications. These are drugs like doxylamine or Restivit, and they are a sedating medication, but they're also quite a powerful anti-nausea medication, and they're great for nighttime because you get the benefit of the sedation as well as the relief from the nausea, and that ideally is enough to get you off to sleep.
Yeah, and I also read about steroids.
Yep. So we're sort of working our way along now.
I jumped the gun.
No. But we've got someone now who's perhaps not responding well enough to any of those initial things. And occasionally we'll use some steroids, usually prednisolone in tablet form. And, prednisolone or steroids are very powerful anti-nausea medications, typically used, for example, if you have an operation, you'll often get a dose of steroids from the anaesthetist while the operation's going on so you don't wake up with too much vomiting. And a short-term use of oral steroids is reasonable in a more significant case of a hyperemesis, and we try and keep that, we try and keep the course to a minimum, but certainly it can be used, usually under specialist care, in someone who we know has got a problem but we're kind of trying to keep them out of hospital. And then if we get up to the hospital level, we usually got someone who needs intravenous rehydration and sometimes intravenous steroids.
And so if somebody's got very severe HG, how often would they be having some IV treatment?
It's a good question. So that can be something that we manage through the hospital, but it doesn't always have to be an inpatient in the hospital. So a lot of hospitals have got access for pregnant women to come in as an outpatient perhaps twice a week, and maybe you come in for half a day, you get 2 or 3 litres of intravenous fluid and some intravenous anti-nausea medication, perhaps some intravenous ondansetron, some intravenous steroid, and go home again. And in 2 or 3 days, you're crappy again, come back in, do that again.
Yeah, wow.
And keep doing that until you either get better or have the baby.
Oh, gosh. All right. So this sounds like this is a considered long-term plan for those people with severe HG in their pregnancy.
Yeah. So most obstetricians or hospital units will have a protocol for dealing with someone who's that unwell.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And any other treatment that woman should have?
I think if you're getting to that level, it can be quite a good idea to be talking to a dietitian about a meal plan and, getting right down to the nitty-gritty of exactly what to eat and exactly how to eat it. Mm-hmm. So in those, so maybe 6 snacks a day.
And I could imagine you'd want that to be as nutritionally dense as you could make them.
Yes. Again, we're probably getting, if we've got someone who's in the hospital being treated, with continuous intravenous, the very sickest people, then, yeah, definitely a dietitian would be involved. There are other things that need to be treated. Sometimes the same woman has also got acid reflux.
Oh, yeah.
Occasionally it's a little bit hard for the patient to tell the difference between what's nausea and vomiting and what's acid reflux. So we'll often put them on an acid reflux treatment at the same time. And as we've previously discussed, most of those are safe for pregnancy. If you're on a lot of ondansetron and you're dehydrated, you'll definitely be constipated. So we're using stool softeners. And involvement of other allied health people. Someone who's this sick would probably benefit from treatment from a counsellor or a psychologist. Oh,
absolutely.
Especially
it can be such a lonely, isolating and chronic.
I know, right? Yeah. So that's like the possibility of I'm this sick and I may well be this sick for 6-7 months.
Oh, God.
In the most severe, significant, very serious cases, occasionally there's a role for at least discussion of termination of pregnancy.
Yeah, well, yes. I did read that, it can be as high as 10%.
I think what they're probably getting at, if we read 10%, is that it's probably not that 10% of people having with hyperemesis have a termination, but we're probably looking at, for example, a woman who's had a couple of pregnancies before been extremely sick with hyperemesis and then potentially becomes pregnant again in an unplanned way. And that person might say, look, I just can't do this again. My body can't do this again.
And, you know, I can imagine that because the massive impact that can it have on that woman, on her support.
Yes, and the family.
Yeah. You know, sometimes they can't work. Sometimes their partner can't work because they're supporting, you know, the woman that's sick.
She's in the hospital and the partner's with the other children.
Yeah.
It raises one other point which is often overlooked, and that's that if you've had a significant a pregnancy issue like hyperemesis, it's so important to work with your team on a good contraceptive plan so that if you do have another pregnancy, it's in a planned way. And you can be ready to deal with a complication like hyperemesis that can be recurrent.
All right, Patty. Oh, sorry, I forgot to ask a question, and that is about some women say that they're triggered by their prenatal supplement. What do you think they should do there?
Yeah, occasionally that happens. Just taking the big prenatal multivitamin can trigger people off. And I think in that situation we have to think about what in there do we really need. So if it's early pregnancy, we need the folate. We might need some iodine and so forth, but the rest of it could be potentially got from a healthy diet. So we might say, fine, don't ease off on the pregnancy multivite. Take a standalone folate. Make sure you've got a good nutritional impact intake, and then we'll reintroduce the multivite later on when you're feeling better.
Now, I want to talk about a few things that I've read on Hyperemesis Australia. Her Instagram account is brilliant if you do have HG, and they also have some Facebook support groups as well that are linked to that. So some of their posts have been, well, what are the little things that a woman can do aside from what they've got from their doctor? What are the little things that a woman can do? And Pat, in your experience, what have you seen your patients do well?
Fruit tingles, weirdly. I don't know. I think the fizziness might help break up the...
And like those sour worms and...
Yeah, the fizziness of those lollies might help break up tension in your stomach and help you burp.
Yeah.
And having a water bottle so you can take little sips at all times.
If you can. Mm-hmm. And another thing, hydrolyte substitute, because that's disgusting, that stuff, but a lot of people say that the Aqua Mama substitute is good.
Salt and vinegar chips. Like never in the history of the world has someone... eaten one salt and vinegar chip and gone, that's me, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like that, so you want to eat things like that you can't possibly eat only one.
Yeah, and Slurpees, apparently frozen
Slurpees.
Coke.
I can't endorse that.
Well, I think we're asking people to have whatever they can manage.
People who feel like they're getting triggered by too much noise, too much sensory input, those noise-cancelling AirPods are fantastic. Yeah. So it's almost like you're in a little sensory deprivation tank for a while those things are in. Yeah. And people find that very soothing and get less nausea.
And if you're having trouble with the toothpaste and the toothbrush, maybe just some of that tooth mousse that we use on the kids, the GC tooth mousse is really good. Just rub on your teeth.
Nice one.
Yep. All right, so what about once the baby's born? What happens?
Well, you usually get better. So once the baby, or more accurately, the placenta is out, usually this will all just completely resolve.
Oh, fantastic.
Whether it's mild or severe.
Yeah. All right. And any tips for the mum that's gone through 9 months of severe vomiting and nausea?
The nutritional problem may not be over. So often we recommend to people to continue a multivitamin throughout the breastfeeding time.
Yep.
And certainly I would do that with someone who had really significant nausea and vomiting or hyperemesis, because those nutritional deficiencies won't be corrected yet. And occasionally we might use a dietitian to help us out for that.
Okay. People who have had such a traumatic pregnancy, I think there's higher risk of postpartum depression and anxiety.
Yeah, I think that applies to anyone who's had any sort of significant pregnancy abnormality. And part of the check we're supposed to be doing on everybody after they have a pregnancy, and I think we could all do this a bit better, is to go back over the events of that pregnancy and maybe have a little system in our mind. Is this person, do we consider this person to be standard risk or high risk for postpartum mental health problems? There's no low risk. There's only standard or high.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
So standard means, because the postpartum mental health problems can happen to anybody, so that's just standard risk. And then there might be another group who's high risk. And if someone had had 40 weeks of severe hyperemesis, I'd consider them high risk.
Oh, wow. Have we actually done a podcast on postpartum depression and anxiety?
It's certainly in our Grow My Baby program, and we've got a lot of great stuff in there. if anyone's interested in joining our program, then they should get in touch. And I reckon we've done a good summary of hyperemesis and nausea and vomiting in pregnancy today.
Good. All right. Well, as usual, people, if you've got any questions, come over into our DMs, ask us all your questions. In fact, this is where we got this one from. And our next podcast that we'll be doing is all about your partner and how he or she can help you in your pregnancy. So we look forward to having, no, I get this wrong every time, in your ears very soon. See you now.
Bye-bye. See you next time.